This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Courtney Cronin, Myron Metcalf sitting in for those three, Evan Canty and Michelle here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. My Spanish teacher in high school would put on this soap opera called La Catrina. And okay. I remember watching it, and it was the most dramatic thing in this girl, the main character, had braces, and any time like there was some sort of traumatic moment, she would like deadpan to the camera and be like La Catrina, and like just she looked like she was like 14 years old. It was just, it was so weird. It wasn't as good probably as E.T. in Spanish,
yeah,
as Michelle let us in on a little secret about. But now I feel like I have to watch it to learn.
I gotta watch it.
I mean, I don't honestly, you know what my hot take throughout all of this is?
What?
I've never seen E.T.
Oh, Courtney.
I've never seen E.T. I'm sorry.
Courtney,
I've never seen it.
Save that for the group chat. Whoa,
I have never seen it. Is it worth it? I know the thing. The guy's in his bicycle, and he's, like, driving along the street, and E.T.'s, like, wrapped in the blanket, and, like, I guess the bicycle takes off into the moon.
I don't know, Myron.
There was a lot going on in the 90s that I was, what was that more one? Focused on.
You had so much going on, you missed E.T.? Like, you know, that is, oh, you got to put that in the text, Courtney. I didn't know that you missed E.T. You got to go see it.
Apparently you didn't want to know it either. So now I feel alienated and not an island.
You got to see it. You got to make that happen.
Yeah, I'll make that happen along with watching.
Go to Blockbuster. They got Blockbuster. So I don't know where you're going to find it.
Yeah, I mean, the Blockbuster, the one that you're waiting to go get College Football 25, standing outside to get your four cartridges.
Go to my Blockbuster. Yeah, I'll see if they have a copy, and I'll let you know.
Yeah, one might be checked out. On Unsportsmanlike, the last couple of days, we've been going over the ESPN top 100 athletes since 2000 list. And boy, has it been an exercise of futility. So what this thing is, and I'm not going to go full on Pat McAfee on this because I actually am an ESPN employee and I want to keep my job. Because I like working here. All right, so what this thing is, it's naming the top 100 athletes from the 2000s on. So it's the last 24 years, so it's this century. And so voters were instructed to only consider an athlete's performance from 2000 onwards. So you have some players who are going to be athletes across sports are going to be on this list who did a lot of stuff in the 90s, but might be further down because their accomplishments post-2000 onward were not as great as they were within, which I guess would have been the last century. They received more than 70,000 votes from ESPN contributors for this list. We went through, it was like 100 to 76, and then 75 to 51, and then today is 50, all the way down to 26. There have been some critiques, fair ones, about this list. I think, you know, a lot of it has been fair. Yesterday, it ended off at number 51 with Steve Nash. So you think about the top 100 athletes across all sports, international, domestic, whatever. And Steve Nash is here at 51. So he's on the, you know, it says key accomplishments. 75th anniversary team for the NBA, basketball Hall of Famer, two-time MVP, eight-time All-Star, seven-time All-NBA, five-time assist leader. One of the most efficient basketball players in history. There's no denying that. Yep. But you and I have had the conversation of, are you a game changer? Are you somebody who revolutionized playing your position the way that the last person on this list, Charles Woodson, all the way down at number 100 in the switch from cornerback to how he played safety the way that he did that. Today's list starts with a soccer player who, Nuno, if I could get a pronunciation in my ear here, if you just want to come on, I don't want to mispronounce this person's name wrong.
So it's Zinedine Zidane, excuse me.
Okay, male or female?
Is that the MLS dude?
No, he's a French. You guys might remember, 2006, he headbutted an opponent in the World Cup final because the opponent talked about his sister.
Is that why he's on this list?
Dude?
He's one of the greatest. He's one of the greatest soccer players ever.
Okay, so yeah, and again, I'm not trying to disrespect it. I just didn't know how to say the person's name and didn't know much. But there's three soccer players here from like 50 to 48, and then Jimmy Johnson of NASCAR fame is on here at 47. Max Scherzer, The famed pitcher is on here at 46. David Ortiz, Michaela Schifrin, the skier. Like, you can go down, and then you start getting into this, like, swath of basketball players. Everybody from Giannis at 42 all the way down to Kevin Durant at 39. I take issue with this list because then I keep reading, and I see, okay, Barry Bonds, and I get that. That's Barry Bonds is the example where, you know, the stuff that he did in the late 90s and everything that he did post-2000, and of course people are probably going to factor in that some of those results might have been tainted by steroids. Like, he's at 38, Ichiro's at 37. Clayton Kershaw and Mike Trout are about seven spots higher there. And for the basketball stuff that I'm looking at, Kevin Durant, as I said, is at 39. Dwayne Wade's at 35. A couple spots separating the two of them. I think about this list, and it's super basketball heavy because the only two football players within the next 25 here are Randy Moss at 27 and Peyton Manning at 26. So I'm guessing that these voters just had, I think it's an inherent bias towards basketball, towards team sport, but, you know, certainly with more individual achievements there for scoring for, you know, the athletes that we see on here. And WNBA's got a few, too. But, like, what's your biggest holdup here? Because, I mean, I could go all day on this, and I only have about, you know, six more minutes here. But I feel like this list is a list. This is a collection of names and professions.
Yeah, this is a list. You said it the right way, Courtney. I mean, I don't really know where to begin. I mean, clearly, and we talked about this the last couple of days, there is a bias towards basketball. And if it's about performance, I think it's easiest for people to calculate a good basketball performance compared to maybe a defensive player in the NFL and what they've achieved, which makes me wonder where Aaron Donald might be on this list. Because if he's not on this list, we're going to have to have some other conversations. But heavily in favor of basketball players, there is no world where Kevin Durant is behind Dwayne Wade. There just isn't a world. And I'll be honest, there's no world where Maya Moore is behind Dwayne Wade. That's nothing against D-Wade. I think he actually was a game changer. You see a guy like Donovan Mitchell and all these other players, they are playing like Dwayne Wade. But KD's ahead of him, certainly. So that's a little confusing and concerning, the Barry Bonds being that far back. I just, I don't know what the criteria is, Courtney, but it looks like there's some recency bias, certainly with some of the picks we've seen so far.
Why am I held up on Giannis? Is that fair? Because I think about the next 25, and I know that Klay Thompson's not going to be on there, and we talked about this yesterday. We saw Kawhi on this list, of course, with Steve Nash in there. Giannis feels to me like the epitome of recency bias here, of a player who won a championship a couple of years ago, has been hurt the last two seasons in the playoffs, so we haven't seen him go try to get another finals MVP or, like, be named a two-time MVP again in the regular season. I don't understand, like, why is he on this list in terms of the top 100 athletes from 2000 onwards? If it was a top 100 athletes from 2010 onwards, okay. But that, like, because now, what do you do with the next portion of this list with Kobe, Shaq, Tim Duncan, Steph Curry, and LeBron? Am I leaving anybody off there that's, like, an obvious one that should be on there?
Are you just sticking just to basketball?
I'm just talking about basketball. Okay.
They have to be. Shaq has to be on it. Tim Duncan, Kobe. But I'm not certain all of those people will be. Yeah, I mean, are there enough spots? Because we have to get to baseball still. Football has more players. Mahomes and Brady are going to be on that list. I bet there's another soccer player or two that will be on that list.
Real quick, so I was doing this you guys were going through this. These are the names I've come up with, and you get to 20, and I'm probably forgetting of the Tiger, Messi, Brady, LeBron, Cristiano Ronaldo, Steph Curry, Serena, Mahomes, Kobe, Duncan, Shaq, Lewis Hamilton, Rafael Nadal, Federer, Djokovic, Michael Phelps, Simone Biles, Katie Ledecky, Diana Taurasi, Megan Rapinoe. That's excluding Breonna Stewart. Like, there's so many.
Stewie?
Yeah, like, there's so many other.
Did you say Serena?
Did you have Asia Wilson in there?
Yeah. If Giannis is on it, Asia Wilson has to be on it.
No, I didn't throw her. So that, so I'm like at 20 without like. I don't know where this.
I think Asia Wilson was already on the list early on.
She was. She was included.
Okay,
you're right.
My bad. My mistake.
You're right. Asia Wilson was on the list.
She wasn't on there.
No, which was wild how she's.
Is Drew Brees on the list, Courtney?
If we only have 25 spots left, no. Like, and he would be, he would, if by that logic, Myron, he'd be ahead of Peyton Manning. Like, yeah, Peyton.
Which would be wild, right? That can't happen,
no
right?
No way. No,
like,
no.
Brees can't
like,
be
come
ahead
on. Like, let's think realistically about that. Absolutely yeah. not. Absolutely not. Football player wise, though, there's going to only be three spots left, maybe. So we're thinking
Aaron
Mahomes,
Donald has to be.
Brady.
Oh, yeah. Floyd Mayweather, I bet, is on that list somewhere. Maybe Oscar De La Hoya could be on that list. I mean, I think Aaron Donald has to be top 25. Like, you can't, to me, have a list of the greatest performances since 2000 and not include Aaron Donald. But I'm struggling to figure out where he ends up on a list like this.
I think since he's not on it yet, if he – and J.J. Watt made it yesterday, so he was part of that next wave of 25 in the 70s. Aaron Donald, like, again, I can put – any accomplishments of his, defensive player of the year, Super Bowl champion, you know, sacks leader, the whole thing. I can do all that stuff. I think about game changers, guys who revolutionized the way that you play a certain position. He revolutionized what it means to be an interior defensive lineman, you know, particularly the three technique position in the NFL. If he's not on this list, there's something wrong with that. I would say, though, given how this list has skewed away from football, even though he does have more of those individual performance achievements that you can hang your hat on if you're a voter, kind of like you would with some of these basketball players. I mean, hell, like,
yeah.
If it wasn't for that play, him busting through the middle and sacking Joe Burrow in the Super Bowl, like, I don't know if we're talking about the Rams winning that year. Anyways, though, like, he'd have to probably be. Just given the way that they do this and all the names that Nuno just read off, 23 or 24, maybe 25. Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably like the bottom portion of that, which is crazy to say when you think about how these lists are formed, that Aaron Donald, if you're like taking a list of like a group of the 100 best athletes since 2000, that he would be, he'd be that far down. But that's probably the reality of it. And I know that we've talked about the number one. And yes, tomorrow Myron and I are back here on Unsportsmanlike, and we will reveal what this list is, like 1 to 25. We're still thinking Michael Phelps for number one?
I don't know about the Olympians, honestly. I mean, because there's so many. There's Simone Biles. There's Kayla Ledecky. There's Michael Phelps. I don't know that there are enough spots. But I'll make a prediction, Courtney. I bet Patrick Mahomes is no more than two spots behind Tom Brady, wherever Tom Brady is.
Sure.
I think Mahomes will be that high on the list, and I think Tiger Woods will be number one.
You think Tiger Woods will be number one? I was going to be really – I am going to be really bored if Brady or Mahomes are number one. I want to see them top five, I think both of them respectively, but I would be really bored with that considering – you know, there is a great pool to choose from of, like, the greatest athletes that get that title – since 2000 at number one, number two, number three. But I don't think based on the way that this list has gone, it will be a football player with that distinction. It's a list.
It has done what its purpose was intended to.
Got us talking about it. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Courtney Cronin and Myron Medcalf sitting in for the guys on this Wednesday morning. Straight ahead, are you okay with college football players being fined? And if you're not watching us here on ESPNU, I just did air quotes around the word fine because there might be some legalities with that issue, with that word. We will get into those issues coming up next on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat, you've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of their local branches.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. It's Unsportsmanlike with Courtney Cronin and Myron Medcalf on this Wednesday morning. Training camp in the NFL just days away from taking me away from the rest of my life for the next couple of months. It's an exciting time to be in the football world, whether you're in the NFL world, whether you're in college football, and the SEC Media Days continuing on today. I believe they're at day three. This thing goes all week. It started Monday with the commissioner talking, and a couple teams went. Yesterday was Tuesday, and Georgia's Kirby Smart addressed the media and did some side sessions as well. We heard from Kalen DeBoer on this show earlier, and if you didn't hear that interview, you can listen to the full interview with the Alabama head coach on the Unsportsmanlike Podcast. But Kirby Smart said something. It wasn't at a podium. It was to a small group of reporters at the Omni Hotel in Dallas, where Media Days is taking place, Myron. And I like the intent, but I'm not sure that I'm okay with the execution here. So this is what Kirby Smart said. I'm gonna read some of his statements from on3.com. Quote, the NIL collective that Georgia has, which is called, I believe it's the Classic City Collective. The NIL collective has fined players substantially, Smart said. We've dismissed players that have been involved, and I'm talking about routine traffic, repeated violations. I think the best key is the pocket, because when you look at what the NFL has done, their model is defined. And if you asked any of our players what they would rather have, they want their money. When I say substantial, it's very substantial in terms of what some of the hits these guys have taken, end quote. What Kirby Smart is referring to here are all of the issues that this Georgia football team has had regarding drunken driving, reckless driving, and speeding. Of course, back in 2023, days after the national championship game, they lost a recruiting staffer and a former player due to racing in the streets. And obviously, there was alcohol involved there, too. But that wasn't the only, you know, the only incident here. According to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, other members of the UGA football program have been charged by police since then for DUI, reckless driving, or speeding 24 times in the last 18 months since that January 23 car crash. So it's very, very clear they've got an issue here. Mm-hmm. It's the epidemic in the Georgia football program. Yeah. I know this stuff is happening elsewhere, but it's not as magnified at other programs because you're not hearing, fortunately, thank God, you're not hearing about anybody else losing their life over this the way that two people associated with the Georgia football program did. But what Kirby Smart told these reporters yesterday is that this collective that the university is part of, it's called the Classic City Collective, and Matt Hibbs is the CEO and the founder of it. This, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the collective where all athletes, a part of Georgia's 21 Division I sports, like they, when they become student athletes there, like they get like signed up for this, and this is the payout of money from the university, right?
It's the payout of money from the boosters and business owners who donate to the collective. And I think like Georgia football, there's probably like a minimum that every player gets just by being a part of that collective. Okay. So that's the money that is going to them.
Because these players, obviously, if you want to sign NIL deals with a car company to with, you know, an insurance company, whatever it is, whatever the thing is, like it's separate from that. But this sort of fining system, which is what Kirby Smart, that's his word, he talked about the NFL and how they do it, and he talked about these fines. Like, this is supposed to quell this behavior from continuing to happen, because you're hitting players in their pockets, which is the right move if you want this stuff to stop, because clearly And the Atlanta Journal-Constitution said that the Georgia football program has talked about this, whether it's coaches, whether it's support staff, no less than 164 times. They have addressed this, yet we still continue to see these incidents. Like, in theory, I like this idea, but I think that this just teeters a very slippery slope in the college football world because, newsflash, these people aren't employees the way that NFL employees who can get fined by the National Football League are.
That's why I hate it, right? I mean, and my guess is that there will be lawyers soon in all of this conversation. Like, it's the right move if you have a players association, and you have a collective bargaining agreement, and you have representation. Like, my thing with this, Courtney, is if one of these guys, right, they get a speeding ticket, and suddenly there's a $5,000 fine, or $5,000 is withheld from their check, whatever you want to call it, who do they turn to in that situation? Like, at a minimum, you can't tell me there's a fine system unless you can guarantee the players have some sort of representation, and they don't have that. And the subjective element of this really worries me. Who's making the call on exactly how much everyone gets fined? Is everyone being fined equally? And then the other extremes, Courtney, guy comes out on week three. He's getting $100,000 from the collective. He drops three passes. Do you cut his check then? Like, to me, it's just a bad idea to make this the penalty system. Remember, there were penalties before NIL. Coaches dealt with this stuff before the money was a factor. I think it's really dangerous to let this fine system become a part of college football.
The idea of effectively pay for play and pay for good play, like that doesn't even exist in the NFL. It really doesn't. Yeah. Like, on a game-by-game basis, players aren't losing money if they drop a pass. And we're not saying that that's happening, but there's a slippery slope here when it's not being regulated and there's not somebody – like, I'd like to believe that when these players are fined, and Matt Hibbs, who is the founder and CEO of Classic City, told On3 that the collective's not fining any players. He tried to walk back Kirby Smart's comments a little bit. Smart move. He said the organization withholds or deducts scheduled payments for players charged with car-related incidents. And he told On3 –
same thing, right, Courtney?
It's just different language. That's a CYA move if I've ever heard it. He said that the collective has withheld roughly six figures over the last 2 years. Ooh. He declined to give a more specific figure. I'd like to know, is that just six figures for the football team for these driving-related incidents that have happened? It's tough because clearly there was a message that was not getting through. And even the death of two members of this football program, a staffer and a former player.
Yeah.
You'd think that even if they weren't your teammates, even if you didn't work closely with them, even if you're a new player that came onto the team and were one of these players who had been arrested for reckless driving, DUI, speeding, whatever it is, you'd like to think that the consequences of that are known enough to where you wouldn't do it. But clearly they're not, which is why Georgia's felt it had to go to this length to get it to stop, because this is a team that, from a football perspective, is trying to go win a national championship. They feel slighted that they were not part of the four-team college football playoff last year. So they, you know, after having a undefeated conference schedule in their football schedule and then going and beating Florida State the way that they did in the Orange Bowl, they are competing for a national championship, yet there are a lot of these issues that are happening off the field that continue to cloud what they're trying to do on the field. So for Kirby Smart, I empathize because it kind of feels like he's at its, you know, he's at its wit's end with this. And knowing that if you go to a 20 to 22-year-old athlete, even younger than that for some, but like if you're going to these young athletes and saying, we're going to take away the resources that you came here to play for, then that's probably going to make their ears perk up a little bit and wake them up a little bit to, okay, maybe I won't do that. And again, we don't know for some of the specifics with the speeding stuff. You're driving 3 miles over the speed limit. You're driving 10 miles over the speed limit. Reckless driving obviously speaks for itself in terms of what the definition of that is. But from what's, you know, kind of what's being talked about behind the scenes, a lot of this sounds like a lot of the arrest, or some of the arrest rather, sound like those are more moves of just like straight up prevention, because the Athens Police Department, in a lot of ways, has dropped the ball by letting players go in the past. So of those 24 that we know about, how many of those were just, hey, this guy was going a couple miles over the speed limit, but because we're trying to make sure that we don't have another tragedy, those players get lumped in, and then those players get deductions from this collective. It's a real slippery slope here that I don't know Georgia wants to go down, because, like you said, Myron, it feels like lawyers could get involved here. These players are, until these players are employees of the university, they don't have the jurisdiction to, you know, find them and withhold, I would imagine.
Yeah, no, there's going to be some legal stuff happening. You know, in the NFL, players do things they shouldn't do, but they can appeal things like this. These college players can't do that, Courtney.
Yeah, there's no, I mean, at least from what we know, I don't know what the appeal process would be unless there was somebody that was hired as an outside third party. I mean, what college football really needs is a players union. I don't know how close they are to getting there. We do know that we've heard in other sports, I think by the Dartmouth basketball team, you know, players trying to unionize. I don't know that we'll get there in college sports, but that would be one way to at least put some sort of safeguards in here to make sure that this thing didn't get out of control with the fining. But I guess desperate times call for trying to think outside the box to stop something bad from happening again for this Georgia football team. Straight ahead, one prominent head coach is worried about what CFP expansion is going to do to the game. I'll tell you who that is coming up next here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
This is the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio.
The 12-team college football playoff will now comprise of 5 conference champs and 7 at-large selections.
7 at-larges is a very good day. So overall, criticism, yes. Celebration, yes. Good day for college football.
That news was a good day, according to some, in the college football world. The 12-team college football playoff debuting in the 2024 season. It expands from 4 to 12. Maybe there will be expansion in the future. Maybe there will not be. But it means more teams have a chance to compete for a national championship. And that in itself should be considered a good thing. He's Myron Medcalf. I'm Courtney Cronin. This is on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We think this is a good thing. I think by and large, you and I have had this conversation before, that we want to see a competitive field of 12, whether that's 2 lost teams, maybe a 3 lost team from the SEC or Big Ten sneaks in, whatever. I want to see more than just 4 teams compete for a championship. However, there might be some unintended consequences of college football playoff expansion that we don't know yet. Apparently, Dabo Swinney, Clemson head coach, has already figured out what those unintended consequences will be and had this to say about why CFP expansion might not be a good thing.
You'll probably see some guys, if you're 4-4 and probably out of the playoffs, probably see some guys head off to Arizona and train. Probably an unintended consequence. You'll probably see some situations where, like you see in the NFL, you know, I mean, the Ravens are in the playoffs. They got it locked up, right? They got the bye or whatever, and, well, they got one more game. That really means nothing, right? Because it's all about the playoffs. So do you play Lamar in that game? You know, and that's probably an unintended consequence in college, you know, from a tradition standpoint is, you know, maybe you're 11-0 and you got that rivalry game. But, oh, you play your biggest foe next week in the conference championship. And if you win that game, you're going to get a bye. You know, so those are things that are probably decisions you'll see play out all throughout college football.
The cynic in me hears that and thinks, well, you won't be playing for the college football playoff anyways, Clemson, so why are you worried about it? But then, you know, I get what he's saying. If you have a playoff spot locked up at a certain point, teams are going to rest starters. If you don't have a shot at the playoffs, they might rest starters too. And players then could start opting out of regular season games, because we haven't really seen the opt-outs in college football magnified until what we saw this past year. Florida State believes that it should be in the playing for a national championship. It doesn't get that opportunity to. They have 20 players bounce before that Orange Bowl game against Georgia, and we know what the result was. It wasn't good for Florida State. I agree and I disagree with Dabo Swinney here. Like, the NFLization, the model of the NFL is coming to college football, starting with the 12-team play format for the college football playoff. That's not going anywhere. That's going to continue to put stress on the teams that are trying to get into the college football playoff to have near blemish free records, but not you don't need to go undefeated anymore, but you still have to be pretty damn good. Like, they're not going to allow a four loss team, probably not a three loss team into the college football playoff, depending upon what your conference is. Like, if I'm a Big 12 team, I can't lose three games. I can't.
No. SEC team, we'll see.
Yeah, if you're LSU from last year, we'll see. But like, does this not put stress on the college football regular season, put more of an emphasis on that now with the way the college football playoff has expanded to, like, if you don't win your conference title, you're going to then have to win four straight games to win a national championship if you were one of those teams that got in with multiple losses?
Isn't that a way of seeing it?
Like, that would actually not make expansion a bad thing?
No, it makes it a great thing. More teams are in the mix. I mean, we have been going through this current system where you literally have had five or six teams every year that have a legitimate chance of getting to the playoff, right? Maybe there's a seventh team. But right now, you're going to have maybe 20 teams or more going into the season who are going to have a real chance to get into the playoff. I think that's a great thing. My challenge with what Dabo is saying is that it doesn't align with the reality. The opt-out issue has been an opt-out problem at the end of the season. Yeah. Guys saying, I'm not going to the bowl game because I want to go train to be in the NFL. That is a lot different than a player in week 11 being like, you know what? Time for me to rest. I'm an NFL prospect. I do want to play in the playoffs, and I want to take a break here. That's what Lamar Jackson has done. Lamar Jackson isn't opting out of the playoffs. Uh-huh. He's sitting to rest in terms to get ready for that push. So I think Dabo is way off. More players will opt in for the postseason because of this current
system.
Because
they'll have an opportunity to play for a natty, is what you're saying.
Yeah, which was the opposite of what has been in past years. So I actually think he is hurting his own argument, because even if that in-season opt-out happens, that means guys are going to be getting ready to play in the postseason, which has been the issue in the past. And if you're on a 4-4 team, like you talked about, Cordy, you're 4-4 and you're going to go down to Arizona and train, come on right back to campus and keep playing, because that's going to be your best chance to get into the NFL. Like, how many guys think opting out of games will help them get into the NFL? That's not a common thing. I think he's exaggerating, and that's my problem with that whole narrative.
Well, the opt-outs wouldn't happen. Let's say he's right about this, and like, there is a game where a team like kind of clinches its spot in the postseason.
Yeah.
And you have two or three games left on your schedule. You know, to expect widespread opt-outs where guys are like, no, I'm good, I'm going to rest. Like, you don't see that in college football the way that you do in the NFL, where that's a head coach decision of, we're not playing starters today. That really doesn't happen. I mean, maybe some like non-conference games. So like the end of the year, the argument I brought up with Georgia earlier, Georgia State, I believe, is the team that I was. Or is it Southern or State? Hold on. Someone had just texted me.
It's a couple of them.
I'm not going to get it wrong the second time.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech. I said that wrong. Fine.
Oh, okay.
Eight times a charm for me. They played Georgia Tech at the end of the year. So you could understand like the whole opt-out argument of, hey, we have a chance to go compete for a national championship. We'll rest our starters for this game. Like, if you understand it from it being a coach perspective, I believe this is, again, what we've kind of heard from Dabo Swinney before, whether it's the transfer portal or NIL or anything else. Like, this is a coach kind of biting back on player empowerment, on a player's decision to say, I don't want to do this. I want to make sure that I'm healthy for the playoffs. Because you're right. Like, if you're on a 4-4 team, you're not going to have guys opting out, like leaving early. That would do nothing but hurt your draft stock. That's the part I'm hung up on.
Yeah, it would. I just don't think it's a reality. I think the other challenge when it comes to opting out in the NFL, if Lamar Jackson is sitting, it's not just because his team has clinched a playoff spot. It's because his team has locked in its seed as well.
Sure.
You're going to have teams at the end of the season in the college football where a couple of wins could be the difference between facing Georgia in your first game and facing a team that is not as powerful. So the seeding argument and conversation, I think, is going to keep a lot of players active through the end of the season.
And just clarify this with me here, if you know how this works. Like, we're not going to know seeds in the college football playoff until the whole regular season's done, right? Like, this isn't going to be a situation like with the NFL where a team could clinch the number one seed 2 weeks before the end of the regular season, right?
Well, Well, I mean, hypothetically, right? If everybody's struggling in Georgia's 10-0, but that's not the reality. And then here's the other thing: teams are going to be vying to host playoff games, so there will be something on the line every single week. What Dabo is saying is actually the opposite of what's going to happen in this new system.
Okay, let's leave this one here. I think there's so much more to discuss on this topic. When we were talking with Kalen DeBoer, Alabama head coach, earlier today, like he mentioned that there's unintended consequences or stuff that you don't have to. That you don't necessarily anticipate happening, but for a team like Alabama that made it to the college football playoff last year, and there were some who said, okay, maybe they didn't deserve to be there because I believe they had two-loss Alabama team that got in 2023. I believe that's accurate. And of course, like Georgia and what their resume was, they didn't end up getting in. Like, there's going to be stuff that we still don't know with the college football playoff expanding to 12 teams until we're into the thick of the regular season. But hey, the more teams that you bring in, the more competitive the field gets. Of course, we can talk about like what's the barrier to water this thing down, but we're not there yet. Like, let's get through the first year of 12 before we make any sort of like declarations that this is a bad thing for the state of college football and for the teams that would have to face having these opt-outs. Because I don't think, I'm with you. If it was six teams last year, Florida State isn't having 20 players, including nine guys who had already declared for the NFL at that point. They're not having that many players say, hey, we're bouncing. We're going to go start training for the NFL instead of playing. All right, Tiger had a time yesterday to clap back at a golfer who said he should retire. But first, Myron's going to tell you this from NHTSA.
We all know about the sound, about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? If you drive over the speed limit, there are lots of sounds that you might hear. You could hear the sound of your vehicle crashing, the sound of first responders desperately trying to save you. You could even hear the sound of people crying at a funeral, because if you drive over the speed limit, you could do damage that's beyond repair. One way or another, speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
So with the Olympics starting next week, Myron Medcalf taught me something this morning here on Unsportsmanlike. I did not know that breakdancing, shortened to breaking, is an Olympic sport this year. Please fill us in. I think I'm not the only person right now. I'm sure if you're driving around on your way to work, running errands, that you're probably thinking, what's breakdancing? Oh, a thing where the guy dances, a guy or girl like spins on his head on a cardboard box. Yeah, that's an Olympic sport.
Yeah, popping and locking. Yeah, we're all in too in America. So I'm into it. So I actually watched the Olympic trials, Courtney.
Okay.
And we have, like on the men's and women's side, we have like the Michael Jordan and Serena Williams of breaking. However, I will say Japan has some tough competition on both sides. So I don't know what that's going to look like. I hope we get the gold medal, but it's serious. Like, everybody has like one name, Courtney. Like, everybody is like Storm or Scorpion, you know? You don't know what their real names actually are.
Is that required?
So it's like, I think so, because even the judges had one name. So it's going to be fun to watch, but it's serious competition. But yes, someone is going to win a gold medal in breaking in the Olympics this year. It's a real thing.
I also looked up what the Olympic sports, like, I want to see if there are any other like, if there are any other like ones that I wasn't expecting. I'm not going to call anybody sport weird, because if you're an Olympian, that's pretty freaking cool.
100%.
They call soccer football, because I was looking at the list and I'm thinking, oh, wait, football in the Olympics? How did I miss this for what's going on in Paris? But soccer, and obviously like internationally it's called football, but I just thought, it's the International Olympic Games. United States, I guess, are not just going to cater to us and me not knowing what that meant. Thought that was interesting.
Are you guys
we expect
all in,
it, though, don't we?
Are you guys all in on sports climbing? Because they're doing that this year as
Isn't
well.
Isn't that like rock
sports climbing?
Climbing?
Yeah. It's like rock climbing. They're doing that as well this year.
What is that? So you just, who can climb the fastest, or what's the?
Yeah, apparently that's who can climb the fastest.
Can scale a wall like Spider-Man.
Wow. You know what's coming, though, right, Courtney? Like, so flag football.
Yeah.
Is coming in 2028, and everything I'm reading says that NFL players will be allowed to participate, right?
You already know that there's going to be an addendum to the CBA that does not allow that to happen, because it's going to happen during training camp. There's no way. Injuries
aside. Caleb Williams can't play? Caleb
Tyreek
Williams
Hill cannot do this. He can't be like snatching flags from people's shorts, but knowing that I know he's done it. I know he's kind of been an ambassador to the game, but
he has been.
There's no way.
So if Caleb Williams is like, listen, hey, Chicago Bears, I want to represent my country. I want to go after the first gold medal.
The narrative was that we weren't anticipating that, like, this guy wants to go win a gold medal and be an Olympian. that's how he's going to change the game.
They'd have to Kawhi. They'd have to be like, no, get it. Hey, you guys, don't let him play. We can't do that.
And then there'll be a war of words between USA flag football and the Chicago Bears, which I'm sure will go over as well as what happened yesterday with their team president for the Clippers and USA basketball. Golf is an Olympic sport as well, and that happens after the Open. So an event formerly known as the British Open takes place in a couple of days. And Colin Montgomery, so a legendary Scottish golfer, had a moment on he was interviewed on a European TV show. And he thinks that Tiger Woods needs to call it quits. He's done with this. His quotes here were, aren't we there? Quote, aren't we there? I thought we were past there. When he was asked if Woods should stop playing golf competitively, he said, there's a time for all sportsmen to say goodbye, but it's very difficult to tell Tiger it's time to go. Obviously, he still feels like he can win. We are more realistic. These guys only know Tiger Woods missing the cut, and he's better than that. The best we've ever seen, end quote. Here's Tiger Woods' response to what Colin Montgomery said about the fact that he thinks he should retire.
Well, as a past champion, I'm exempt until I'm 60. Colin's not. He's not a past champion, so he's not exempt. So he doesn't get the opportunity to make that decision. I do.
That's, I mean, you've earned that. You've deserved that.
So when I get to be at his age, I can still make that decision. Well, he doesn't.
Good God. The ultimate mic drop. And he's right. He is exempt. And, like, there are certain events, too, that he is exempt. You know, he's able to participate in because of his status, how many majors he's won over the course of his career. Look, Colin Montgomery said the quiet part out loud for a lot of people, where all we've seen the last couple of years outside of the 2019 major win that he had at the Masters, like, Tiger Woods is now synonymous with missing the cut, not being there on Saturday, having one good round, and then his body failing him, and he has to withdraw, or he just doesn't make the cut on Friday. I hate it for him, but that's the reality of this. However, I would not be the one to go tell the greatest golfer of our generation to retire. I think that if the message came from someone else, I don't know. If the message came from Jack Nicklaus or somebody who had won as much as Tiger, if not maybe a little bit more, it would carry a different tone than someone like Colin Montgomery, who, as Tiger Woods pointed out there, is not a past champion who has the exemption until he's 60. But it was so cut and dry with Tiger where he's just like, no, like, I have the exemption. He does it. Next question, more or less. I like the answer there. Yeah. That's a very biting response.
Tiger Woods said, they not like us. I mean, who is Colin Montgomery? Who is he to tell me what I can do? And I love the line of when I'm his age. Colin Montgomery is 61. And he's saying, when I'm his age, I'll still be able to call the shot. So I get where Tiger Woods is coming from. If you're one of the greats, you don't want Colin Montgomery making some statement like that. You're just not going
to
care.
He was probably insulted that he even had to address the question and give an answer. Like, it wasn't like it came from somebody that is on par with Tiger Woods. It came from somebody who was is a professional golfer, or was. Like, I don't know if he's still competing
now. It'd be like Patrick Beverly telling LeBron to retire. Like, what are we talking about?
That honestly sounds like something that very well may happen. Didn't Paul Pierce just take credit for LeBron James's career on somebody else's channel? Yeah. Didn't that just happen?
Paul Pierce is out there somewhere.
Yeah, everybody wants a soundbite. That was a good one, though. Loved hearing that from Tiger Woods as he gets ready for the Open. I believe the first round comes up on Thursday. So plenty to keep, tomorrow is Thursday. Thank you, Nuno. I forgot what day it was because we've been hosting this show together all week. The early wake up time throwing me off. Myron and I are back here on Unsportsmanlike on Thursday. We will get to that top 100 list and see how things finish off.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.